Hey, this is Chris, and welcome to Popcorn Finance News, where I search the internet for the numbers that catch my eye and the news that I think you want to hear and break them all down in about the time it takes to make a bag of popcorn. Today is April 11th, 2024, and let's jump into today's number. Today's number is 37. 37% is the highest federal tax bracket, but you will only reach this percentage if you make more than $578,126. That's if you're single. That number jumps up to $693,751 if you're married and filing your taxes with your spouse. Those numbers are very specific. And really, those numbers are even higher because you're able to deduct things from your income before they even decide where you're placed at on those tax brackets. But look, I don't think that there's a single person out there that enjoys paying taxes. Why would you? Why would you enjoy that? But I think our perception of how much we pay in taxes, it gets skewed a bit because we see numbers like 37% and don't realize that that level of tax is reserved for the very wealthy, not us regular people making regular incomes. And on top of that, our whole tax system is just confusing. You know, in the past, I've gone over the seven tax rates that are in each bracket, ranging all the way from 10% up to 37%. But did you know that just because you fall into one of these brackets, it doesn't mean that you're actually paying that percentage on all of your income? It sounds confusing, but the reason that is because here in the U.S., we use something called a progressive tax system, meaning that only the money you earn within a particular bracket gets taxed at that rate. So even for those who are all the way up there at that 37% bracket, they're only paying that rate on the money they earn above that $578,000-ish dollar mark. To put this into more normal income ranges, let's say you're single and you make $100,000 a year, which is still a very good income. $100,000 would fall in the 24% tax bracket if you were just looking at that number. But after you take something like the standard deduction, which is something that we all get to take, you would fall down to the 22% tax bracket. And then only the money you earn above $44,726 is taxed at 22%. Your first $11,000 that you make is taxed at 10%. And then the rest of your money that lands in that space in between those two numbers, it's taxed at 12%. So in reality, you only end up paying a little more than 16% in total, rather than the 24% it seemed like you'd end up owing. Today's article comes from the Wall Street Journal, and it's titled, How High Yield CDs Turn Into 0.05% CDs While You're Not Looking, and it was written by Imani Moise. It opens up like this. John Furlong signed up for a certificate of deposit last year that paid 3.85%. When he checked his account in February, he was surprised to find the bank was only paying him 0.05%. The 62-year-old construction manager thought there was a mistake. Then an employee at his branch in Henderson, Nevada, told him that his $50,000 CD had matured and automatically rolled into a new one that was paying a lower rate. The only way to get out of the lower rate CD was to pay an early withdrawal fee. This article went on to say that he went from making about $160 a month in interest to $2.15. So yeah, later on it mentions that he was very angry, and I would be too, because that's a crazy drop in the amount of interest that you're earning. But with interest rates jumping up in the past year or so, CDs, they've really become a super popular place to stick your money. I mean, I've been talking about them for months here on the show. But with interest rates starting to cool down now, you know, we've been talking a lot about the Fed and interest rates and what's going to be going on because of inflation. We all need to be paying a little bit closer attention to the details, especially if you've opened up a CD in the past, you know, we'll say 10 to 12 months. I've talked about CDs a lot in past episodes. If you haven't listened to any of those yet, which I highly recommend you go back and listen to them because I go into this in more detail, here's a quick 10-second breakdown for you. CDs, they stand for Certificate of Deposit. They're basically a type of savings account that typically pays higher interest rates than your normal savings account. But the catch is you can't touch the money in this account for a set period of time. And if you do, you're going to end up paying a penalty. Now, according to this article, Americans deposited more than $2 trillion into CDs since the Fed started raising interest rates back in 2022. And roughly half of all deposits that they've received since 2023 have been going directly into CDs. When you open up a CD, you get to choose how long you want to keep your money locked up for. It could be anywhere from a few months all the way up to several years. And in that paperwork that they give you, you know, if you're at the bank, they give you that stack of papers you got to go through and sign. Or if you're online, you have that long disclosure you got to read, which I highly recommend you actually read the details in there. But when you do that, typically in that paperwork, you're kind of discussing what happens to your money once you reach the end of that term of the CD. You're more than likely going to be choosing one of two options: to either have your money plus the interest that is earned sent into a different savings account, or to have all that money in there rolled into a brand new CD. And sometimes that's even the default option when you open up a CD. Now, the problem is you don't know what interest rates are going to look like, you know, 6 months, 2 years from now. Like, it's impossible to predict the future. In the article, this is what they say. They say that when the account is maturing, the bank is required to notify customers. If the CD will automatically roll into a new one, the bank must disclose in writing the date a new interest rate will be determined. But under current regulations, they don't need to contact customers to tell them the new rate. They only have to provide them with a phone number to call to get the information. What this means is that there's a chance that the new rate you get could be higher or lower, and they're not obligated to tell you in advance. They have to give you a way to go figure it out, but they're not going to be like, hey, just so you know, you're getting this better or worse interest rate. And on top of this, banks often have multiple rates for their CDs. There's normally like the regular one that's just published on their website all the time, and then there's a special promotional rate that they offer from time to time. And there's no guarantee that they're going to give you that better promotional rate or their regular old rate that might be looking pretty bad. What's being reported is that sometimes these old CDs are being renewed into new CDs, but with much lower interest rates, or they're just transferred into a savings account that's barely paying them anything at all. So you may be in a situation where you have a CD and you're like, hey, the end of this CD is coming up pretty soon. What should I be doing? It really is on each of us to keep track of when these CDs will be getting ready to renew. That's step number one. It's just be aware, be on top of any communication that they're sending you, any emails, any letters that you get from the bank. Make sure you're checking out every piece of documentation that they send to you. What I recommend doing is putting a reminder in your phone's calendar for like the week or maybe 2 weeks before your CD is going to reach the end of that term you agreed on. And what I want you to do is make a note to go and contact the bank and discuss where your money is going to be going, right? Because that's the most important thing. Like, what's going to happen? Are you going to be putting this into a new CD? Is this going to a savings account? And also during this time, you can make sure that you're getting their best interest rate available. It might be that your bank really isn't offering anything worthwhile. And this is also a good time to say, you know what? I think I'm going to take my money out once this CD is done and put it somewhere else that will actually pay me a decent interest rate. I do want to say, though, like if it's like, you know, you can get 5% at one bank and your bank offers 4.9%, me personally, like this is just me, I'm not going to go through all the work of moving my money to a whole other bank, potentially having to like sign up for a whole new account just for 0.1%. That really doesn't feel worth the time and effort to go through all of that. But if it is a significant difference, it may be worth actually moving it somewhere that's going to pay you a decent interest rate. Imani shared in her article that CDs usually have a grace period of around 1 to 2 weeks where you're allowed to go in and move your money out of that CD. So just in case you forget, maybe like a little late, you kind of been ignoring that notification on your calendar, you do have a little bit of time to go in there and make some changes. The bottom line is, don't just assume that your bank is going to make sure that you get their best available interest rate when your CD finishes, because as we've been seeing here, that's not a guarantee at all. Sadly, that responsibility is on us. So the best thing you can do is to be ready. Before we wrap up this week, I just want to share this message that I got in from another fellow Chris about last week's episode. Chris wrote in and said, a great episode on spring cleaning your finances. Part of my income comes from commissions, which I can't always forecast. I use the IRS online tool to determine my proper withholdings a few times a year. And this is a great tip from Chris. I completely forgot to even mention this in last week's episode. So if you go to popcornfinance.com/resources, on there, I have a link to what the IRS calls their withholding estimator. And this is a great free tool to go and just double check that you have the right amount of money coming out of your paycheck. Also on that same page, I have links to a bunch of other tools that you may want to check out. If you have an article or number or just some feedback like Chris that you want to share with me on the podcast, you can always email me at questions@popcornfinance.com or send me a message on pretty much all the social media sites. Just look for Popcorn Finance and you'll find me there. As always, I appreciate you joining me here for yet another bag of popcorn. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, boy, keep it popping like Mary Poppins.